Let's go ahead and get back into the book of Proverbs today. Chapter 12, verse number 25 is where we're going to begin. I encourage you to have some means of writing down the references for any of these Proverbs that particularly strike a chord with you. Maybe it's an area of life that you could use some extra assistance in resisting the temptation. Or maybe it's something that you think would be beneficial to one of your kids, grandkids, members of your Sunday school class, whatever. Something where they would be helped in dealing with life by memorizing this particular part of God's Word. A lot of different topics gets talked about in the book of Proverbs, and that's because there's a lot of issues that come up in life. So Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad." So if you got lots of stuff to be concerned over, that kind of drags you down. And what really helps in that? Somebody coming up and encouraging you. Somebody coming up and letting you know maybe they're praying for you or maybe giving you a little bit of advice. Verse 26, "One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." So if you're lost, what you really need is someone to come and tell you how to get unlost, how to find your way. And so that's a righteous person that helps you out that way. But the wicked, the wicked tend to cause people to go off the beaten path because they're looking to take advantage of them. So the contrast here is you'd much rather mix with righteous people than wicked people. Verse 27, "Whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth." The topic of laziness comes up a lot in the Proverbs. Here we picture a man that even though he went out and hunted, he was too lazy once he killed the animal to butcher it properly and cook it. He basically acts like an animal himself, eating the raw meat. Well, that's pretty lazy. You don't want to be like that. A diligent person, a person who thinks things through, they're the ones that are going to benefit have this precious wealth. Verse number 28. "In the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death." So the way of righteousness, the way of holiness, that is a way of life. It leads to eternal life, and you definitely want to be on the righteous path. Chapter 13, verse 1. "A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." You can hear a parent, a father in particular, say this to their kid, right? Look, if you're smart, you'll listen to what I'm telling you. You'll listen to what I am trying to advise you with so that you can avoid things that are not good. But those that blow such advice off end up in trouble. They won't listen. There are things that I was warned about when I was young by my parents, by my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, other adults. And they even told me at the time, "We don't want you to have to learn the hard way." Well, guess what? On some of those things, I learned the hard way. Guess what I said to my son? Guess what I've said to my students and people? I don't want you to learn the hard way. And many of them refused to listen and ended up learning the hard way themselves. So that's the idea that comes across here quite often. Scoffers, unrighteous people won't listen to good instruction. And that causes them trouble. Verse 2, from the fruit of his mouth, a man eats what is good, but the desire of the treacherous is for violence. So what you do impacts on what happens to you. So righteous people want to do and say righteous things, which then will reflect properly on them and even end up with practical good. In this case, you get to eat good things. But treacherous people, untrustworthy people, all they're looking for is trouble. And that's what they harvest. Verse 3. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Got to keep a control on these tongues, on these mouths. Interesting, Book of James, probably the very first New Testament book written chronologically, I think probably just a couple of years after the church got started. Book of James was written by Jesus' half-brother, and it is clear in his writing that he's familiar with wisdom literature, a lot of wisdom literature. And one of the things that he emphasizes is you need to be quick to hear and slow to speak, because we know speaking can cause trouble. He even says that the tongue, this is James again, he even talks about the tongue being like a wild animal or an uncontrolled forest fire. It just does a lot of damage. So I think he'd been reading the Proverbs and saw things like verse 3 here about those that open up wide their lips, they're going to just come to ruin. While the people who watch what they say, they preserve their lives. Verse 4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. So lazy people want, but since they don't act, they don't get unless somebody just hands it to them. While those that are really diligent, following God's lead, they get out there and they work hard and they see their needs met. Verse 5, the righteous hates falsehood, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace. Always keep in mind when we talk about love and hate in the Bible, love represents commitment to something, while hatred represents non-commitment. So righteous people are not committed to lying. Wicked people, though, because they are committed to lying, they bring themselves all sorts of trouble. And so the advice, obviously, is don't be wicked, be righteous. Verse 6, righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but sin overthrows the wicked. So righteousness protects, sin brings disaster. Verse 7, one pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. Now, there's quite a few of these proverbs that show up here that are just observations about how things are in life. And it's true. There are some people out there, they pretend that they are wealthy, but they've got nothing. They're just faking it. And there are others that you would think they were dirt poor, when in fact they are super rich, because they're just not using it. So I think the idea here is appearances can be deceiving. So you've got to get deeper than surface level if you want to really know what a situation is. I think that's the point of the proverb. Verse 8, the ransom of a man's life is his wealth, but a poor man hears no threat. This is another observation of the situation. It doesn't do any good to kidnap poor people's kids. What are you going to get for it? Nothing. They're poor. And you can't extort poor people. They don't have anything to take. It doesn't do any good to do that. So I think the point here is rich people do face a lot more threats from criminal activity trying to take their wealth. Verse number 9, The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Interesting application here. Lamp, in this case, represents the life, the eternal life of wicked people that is not going to keep on shining because they've been wicked. So they're going to face judgment. Whereas righteous people, they can be very happy that they're shining the light both here in this current time, in this earth, but they'll also be shining the light in eternity. Verse 10, by insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom. Insolence here is kind of that self-centered, my way or the highway attitude. And all of us have met people in that mindset. And it does. It just causes a lot of strife. Whereas people who are willing to acknowledge, I don't know everything, I need some advice, that's smart. That's much better approach to reality. Verse 11. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Now, the contrast, I think, here is between the get-rich-quick schemes that some people gravitate toward. They think with hardly any effort at all, they can make tons and tons of money. And they often get taken advantage of. And even if they do get some big payoff, it may not last very long at all. Whereas people who just steadily work, always applying themselves, they end up being taken care of. But because they're seeing to their needs over a much longer period of time. Verse number 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. So if you're always just waiting for something to happen and it never quite does happen, that really drags down on you. When something does occur that you've been expecting, it just fills you full of excitement. That's the point. And so you should be hoping and working and praying for things to take place as God would want them to take place. On his time schedule too, by the way. Verse 13, whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. And the idea here specifically would be the word of God. And I think that that is still true to this day. The people who have nasty things to say about Scripture, who refuse to listen to God's word, they're just looking for trouble. And they will find it in eternity. It's the people who have a healthy respect for God and his word that will be welcomed into the kingdom with God's encouragement to have been doing these things on his behalf all these years. Verse 14, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. That one may turn away from the snares of death. So the fountain of life is water. Water is necessary for life. I think that's kind of the image that we're talking about here. So teaching to wise people is like life-sustaining moisture. It's needed and it's welcome when it's available. And those people who listen to God's word, they end up getting out of the way of the danger of judgment. Verse 15, good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin. So having a good aptitude, making good choices based on God's word, that's always good. But treachery, not doing things God's way, that's going to bring judgment eventually. Verse 16. In everything, the prudent acts with knowledge, but the fool flaunts his folly. So, believers, righteous people, think through things. They compare what they're considering with what the Word of God says. Wise people soak up, like these Proverbs, for example, and put them to use in their life. Foolish people, people who have no interest in God or His Word, they just go out there and do what they feel like. And that brings trouble. And so, obviously, Solomon is telling his kids, don't be that way. Don't be a fool. Pay attention to God's Word. Verse 17, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful envoy brings healing. Now, what we've got here is somebody taking a message from point A to point B. They're representing someone. Wicked people are not going to discharge their message responsibility appropriately. They're going to change the message, not bother passing it on, and when they get caught, they will be punished. Whereas trustworthy messengers take the message to the intended audience and deliver it intact, and that helps. That's really kind of what preachers are doing. That's what individual Christians are doing as they share the gospel. They've got to keep the message intact so that people can be healed by it. If they start monkeying with message, abbreviating it, taking key components of it away, then that's going to bring trouble. Verse 18, poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. So again, following the Word of God is the better choice. If you blow that off, then you're going to end up with a mess. It's kind of like when we buy some sort of appliance, maybe buy an automobile. It comes with the owner's manual, which is produced by the people who designed it. And the idea is, if you want it to keep working, you've got to treat it the way the designer intended. Well, guess what? God is the one who designed us, the world, and His Scripture, His Word, tells us how we ought to be using both life and the world. We better follow it, or there'll be trouble. 19. A desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but to turn away from evil is an abomination to fools. So when good people reach goals, have things happen that they've been looking forward to, that makes them really happy. But foolish people, people who are not committed to God's way of doing things, they are almost made sick by having to stop doing some of the things that they want to do. It makes them mad when they are forced to stop sinning. And that's not a good signal for the core of such a person. Verse 20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. We've got a saying that I grew up with, birds of a feather flock together. So you become like the people you spend time with. And so if we want to be wise in God's eyes, we need to mix with people who are wise in God's eyes. And the people who refuse that advice and just go out and hang with sinful people all the time, they're going to become like them and get themselves in trouble. Paul, who is also a person who clearly was interested in the Proverbs, said that bad companions corrupt good morals. There we go. I finally got it out. Bad companions corrupt good morals. So who we hang with impacts how we behave. And so the Proverbs would teach us to hang with good people. Verse 21, disaster pursues sinners, but the righteous are rewarded with good. Now that's a rule of thumb, especially over long term, that sinners will face judgment and the righteous will face reward because of their continued commitment to God's way of doing things. And so obviously Solomon is encouraging his sons, make sure that you are the righteous. Now this all becomes very ironic that Solomon, after years and years and years of trying to pump out all this wise information, he turns his back on it and walks away. It's very sad that the wisest man on earth became one of the big fools. Verse number 22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. So the idea here is, if you're a good person and you are diligently applying your efforts to take care of business here on earth, you're going to have enough, not just simply for your kids after you pass away, but your kids' kids will also be blessed by all the things that you've been able to store up because of that good lifestyle. But sinners, because they don't apply those sort of standards, will very often end up losing everything. Verse 23, the fallow ground of the poor will yield much food, but it is swept away through injustice. Now, fallow ground is ground that's left unused for agricultural purposes. Every seventh year, the Jewish people were supposed to let their fields rest. And that allowed it to regenerate and produce even more the next cycle of 6 years. So that's the idea here. Even the poor people, when they take that year off and let their land lie fallow, will do better once the agricultural cycle resumes. Unfortunately, though, the unrighteous activities of other people can still harm righteous people. And that's most unfortunate. Verse number 24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Now, this is a passage about corporal punishment. And corporal punishment was practiced across all levels of society, all ages within those levels of society, not just young people. But it was practiced with young people. And it was never intended to do permanent harm. It was a very brief and intentional application of pain to reinforce the idea bad choices bring pain. So stay away from it. A slight swat on the bottom for a child that is trying to grab at sharp objects that it shouldn't grab at or engage in some other misbehavior, that's the proper application of corporal punishment. Never intended to be permanent harm, always just a quick physical reminder. Dangerous acts need to be avoided. So if you don't use some sort of corporal punishment, according to this passage, you apparently don't care about your kid. It means that you're just going to let them do whatever they want to do, and that's never a good choice. If you love your kid, you're going to do what it takes to convince them to do the right stuff and to not do the wrong stuff. And for some kids, negative physical reinforcement is the only thing they'll listen to. some kids, you just look at them in a disapproving fashion, they burst into tears. They're very sensitive that way. But others have got that strong-willed attitude that has to be responded to. Verse number 25. The righteous has enough to satisfy his appetite, but the belly of the wicked suffers want. So righteous people know how to be content. Wicked people are never content. They always want more. They're greedy, greedy, greedy. Chapter 14, verse 1. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. So we could flip the gender on this one as well. Wise people try to make things good in their household. Unwise people, because of bad attitudes, bad mindsets, selfishness, and things, they end up tearing up their entire family. Verse 2. Whoever walks in uprightness fears he who is, but he who is devious in his ways despises him. So upright people actually have this healthy respect of God, this fear of God. But the devious, they hate God, because God means rules. God is the spoil sport, and they don't like that. And so the fool is said in their heart, there is no God. So God's not the boss of me. I don't have to do what he says. Then we finish with another corporal punishment passage, 14:3. By the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. So wise people keep their mouth under control, and so they don't end up having to get the spanking. But fools, they just speak what's in their mind, even if it's wrong, and sometimes that brought about corporal punishment, even of adults in the society of the Israelites.